as the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Chapter 7, the Gospel of John, and the 46th verse. In the context, there is set forth how the chief priests and Pharisees had given to the officers instructions that when the opportunity was afforded them, that they should arrest Jesus Christ, simply regarding him as this man, with a little m to the word man. But as the officers were in the neighborhood of where Jesus Christ was and heard the wonderful words which he spake, and maybe they saw also some of the wonderful deeds which he did, they found they could not perform their enterprise. As we read in the context, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." There is no doubt whatever, the officers were overawed, not by just this man, whom they regarded as a man, as I said, with a little m, but the man who must ever be referred to with a capital M, the God shining gracious through the man. And that had an effect upon the officers, and the time was not yet come when Jesus Christ would fulfill love's redeeming work that he came down into the world to do, to go up Calvary's hill and die in the stead of poor sinners like you and me. And now that is the setting of the subject, and I want to look at it from two or three viewpoints. But first of all, I want just to look a little at one or two statements which might be helpful to consider and instructive. I ever desire, as I have told you, to preach and to teach. And now in the context it is said, "So there was a division among the people because of him." And as it was in those days when Jesus Christ went about doing good, so it is nowadays wherever Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the sinner's friend. Wherever the gospel is preached, among those who listen to the proclamation of it, there is a division. Oh, there are those who desire to follow this man, and in life and death, in time and in eternity, to be with this man and to live to this man's honor and glory and follow him wherever he sees fit to lead. There are still those, alas, of whom the word of God says, a terrible scripture, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And whatever they may hear about this man, as men ordained of God to set him forth as the sinner's friend, in their minds there is a very solemn reaction arising from what they are by nature, and they still proclaim, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways." And I can assure you, dear friends, as one who has long tried to preach the gospel, it is a very painful consideration to realize that whenever you preach the gospel, there will be a division among the people because of him. Some will be for God, and others will be against and determined to live as they were born after the flesh, the things of the flesh, though hell itself is the end of living such a life, yet they will go on therein. Alas, that it should be so. And now, there is another consideration here I just want to touch upon. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, do follow this along, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." And now listen. "Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And now, some months before, Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night, and Jesus had spoken to him as he alone could do, and brought him down to a bedrock truth. Ye must be born again. And it is very evident that Nicodemus was born again. And here he is, giving a little evidence on behalf of Jesus, that if he is to be condemned, then he must have a proper judgment, and this man must be heard. If so be, he will speak for himself. And now the Pharisees and rulers and the scribes had got no answer to what Nicodemus had to say. And so the chapter concludes, and every man went to his own house. And that is how the matter fell out then. And now, regarding Nicodemus, there is a lesson for you and I to learn. I hope some of us have learned it, but you need to be reminded of it. And that is, a man can be born again and be a real follower of Jesus Christ, but not as yet give very much outward evidence of it. And yet the Word of God makes it plain that Nicodemus, when it came to a crucial test, he gave such evidence that he was born again, that when the apostles and the disciples forsook Jesus Christ and fled, Nicodemus was at Calvary's cross, and he was there on the side of him who died thereon for poor sinners like you and me. And there he was evidencing a gracious boldness which he could not have done unless he was a sinner born again. And now what you and I have got to learn is not to set up our own experience as a standard whereby God must teach everybody else whom he is pleased to teach. Not to set up our own experience and judge if people do not come up to what God has been pleased to teach us in the heights or in the depths of our experience. To cut them off and set them aside as not being people taught of God because they have not been taught just as God has been pleased to teach us. I think that lesson needs to be learned well in our denominational life. Oh, there are some scriptures I look at, and I am so glad they're in the sacred pages. Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench. And remember what you sing, the soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. There are those who were taught by terrible things in righteousness, but there are many more in God's dear blood-bought, spirit-taught family who learn the truth here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And it must never be forgotten, blessed are they, present tense, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And now let us look at this great subject. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. I've sometimes wondered if some of those officers later on were actually wrought upon by the Spirit of God. But one must not speculate, but you can hope. And it may be some of them did ponder in their hearts some of the words which they heard this man spake, and it became as good seed fallen into good ground. The Lord grant it might have been so in accordance with his will. But let us now look a little at this man. Never man spake like this man. And I might say, first of all, in approaching the subject, that the Word of God uses some wonderful adjectives, and very apposite they are, in describing this man. When you and I come to describe each other, if we desire to do so, we have to be very cautious what adjectives we use. And there were some used concerning this man that could never be used concerning you and I. This man, view it like this. This man is a perfect man. You and I, as we journey on through life, if we are taught of God, we are made deeper down than ever how imperfect we are and how much we need this man to be what he is as the sinner's friend to us. This man was indeed a perfect man in the life he lived, and he lived his life made of a woman made under the law. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view. The saints in him are perfect too. And now think of that as the Lord shall help you. Jesus Christ as this man being perfect in the life he lived means he never had a foolish thought, and he never spake an idle word, and he never did an evil deed. He just went straight on fulfilling the law in every jot and tittle of it. And the devil could not confound him in doing it. And when he had lived his life keeping that law, in all it demanded of him as this man to do, he could say to his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. A perfect man, a real man, the eternal Son of God in his divine nature, yet there is a wonderful scripture which I like to read, and it unfolds somewhat of the eternal purposes. A body hast thou prepared me. And so, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And if you go to Bethlehem with faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can see what happened there. See this man, born a babe, by birth mysterious. Do not think your own thoughts about it, or ever be engaged in argument concerning it, but just believe it and seek divine aid to appreciate it. Verily God, verily man, a little babe lying in the manger cradle, sheltered in the stable, his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. This man, yes, a real man, a perfect man, a loving man. That is evident. Nothing brought him from above, nothing but redeeming love. And this man has a wonderful sympathy which he exhibits to his people in all their varied cases and circumstances. There is a great word in Isaiah, in all our afflictions, he was afflicted. What do you sing sometimes? This physician understandeth all disorders of the soul, and no payment he demandeth when he makes the wounded whole. Isaiah says again that he is a saviour of quick understanding. Quick. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Oh, you know, sometimes people give evidence, I'm not fitting any caps on, of being dull in understanding. And you have to tell them a thing again and again and again before they get the grip of it, as you want them to understand. Oh, but this man, blessed be his name, he has a wondrous sympathy. And being verily God, verily man, he can deal with poor sinners' cases. And the case that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, I will hear it. Yes, of a truth, dear friends, his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, he is a wonderful man. Then there is this thought. This man is a righteous man. Regarding mankind, the world at large, the word of God says, there is none righteous, no, not one. But this man is righteous. Yes. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And he has wrought out a righteousness for poor sinners. who have none of their own wherein to appear before God. There are just two other thoughts I must put into words ere I come to look at the subject from another viewpoint. Never man spake like this man. And now, what is this man to you? There is one adjective, which I hope you can use, some of you. You need a deal of grace to use it, but you do use it, you can use it, and sometimes you must use it. You must speak of this man as this dear man. Like the hymn writer, when he says, and everything that's dear to him, to me, is also dear. But there is one thing about this man I want you to prayerfully ponder in your hearts. And that is, this man is a glorified man. And now you read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This man, even this Sabbath afternoon, as you are here in the attitude of worship, is at the right hand of God, and he is there forever. And it says that he is sat down on the right hand of God. And now, the immediate context tells us, and here the Apostle Paul is drawing a great contrast between the priests in Old Testament times under the law and this man, our high priest on high. Every priest, mark the wording, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There were no chairs, no seats in the tabernacle. The priests had to stand. And what they had done one day, when the next day dawned, they had to do it all again, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. And they ever had to stand in what they did at God's command regarding how he was to be worshipped under the law. But this man in our text, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Because love's redeeming work was done, fought the fight, the battle won, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I like to look at that scripture because I do like that word, from henceforth expecting. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is at God the Father's right hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And that word shall yet be fulfilled. In this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Never man spake like this man. And now to look at the subject from another viewpoint. Throughout Old Testament times, there were hints that this man would be seen in the fullness of time on the earth to do, as I said, love's redeeming work. But to go back before time was born or the world was built, Jesus Christ, as the eternal Son of God in his divine nature, guaranteed in eternal purposes that he would become this man in the fullness of time. And there is a great word. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And that will was to suffer, bleed, and die in the stead of poor sinners like you and me. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, and he came down, oh so willingly, to do love's redeeming work. But when the world itself was built, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, this man was there as the eternal Son of God in his divine nature. And you have only to look at the opening chapter in John's Gospel to see that great truth set forth. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And says godly John in sublime language, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. Then you see a beautiful scripture, which you will soon be thinking about more immediately. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes. And Jesus Christ, as the eternal Son of God in his divine nature, guaranteed to ratify the covenant of grace in all that God had ordered therein. You will remember the psalmist speaks of it, ordered in all things and sure. And now Jesus Christ guaranteed in the fullness of time he would ratify all that was ordered in that covenant concerning every sinner to be saved by grace. And that means when they should be born and where, how long they should live, and the good work being begun, carried on, and completed, and their redeemed spirits landed safe in heaven itself. And he ratified that covenant of grace when he became this man, and when he said in that wondrous word, it is finished, then that covenant was signed and sealed and ratified in all things ordered well. Then there is another thought, and that is, this man, when he came down to do love's redeeming work, when he began what was his life work, in his wonderful ministry, living the gospel and preaching it, going about doing good, how evident it was then, never man spake like this man. What words they were to say to a poor sinner, thy sins be forgiven thee. No other man should dare to use such words as those, though Catholic priests do it. But it is just a travesty. The thing itself is not brought to pass, and it is just hypocrisy. But when this man said to a poor sinner, thy sins be forgiven thee, oh, they were. And that sinner was conscious of a load of guilt being removed to be no more remembered, either in time or eternity. And this man, when he said to the swelling waves, "Peace, be still," the word of God tells us, and immediately there was a great calm. Never man spake like this man when he dwelt on earth. And I have said, and I like to repeat it, that he never took an unnecessary step in his journeyings through life, but there was a purpose wherever he went in his journeyings, and his great concern was to do poor sinners good. Yes, and there are many poor sinners who dwelt on earth when Jesus Christ went about doing good, whose redeemed spirits are in the realms of bliss, and they can testify that when they dwelt on earth, never man spake like this man. And even the dying thief, when he was dying, could recognize that this man on the center cross was not a man such as he and his fellow thief were. No, no. This man, says one dying thief, wrought upon in life's latest hours, this man hath done nothing amiss. We indeed perish justly. Yes. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And this man said, this man in our text, "I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Oh, that dying thief could tell us, never man spake like this man. To think that the wretch that he was, deserving hell itself, when he was crucified on the cross, and yet, when his dead body was taken down, his redeemed spirit was in heaven itself. There you see what you sing about. Sovereign grace, o'er sin abounding, ransom souls, the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its lengths and breadths can tell. On its glories let my soul forever dwell. Never man spake like this man. And think how this man spake when he was on the cross, when in his awful agonies of crucifixion, and when, as we read, "The Lord hath made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all." And it did then. And he bore the tremendous load of the church's guilt. Yes. And it was blotted out. And regarding his enemies, whereby he was hung upon Calvary's cross, never man spake like this man, for he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now under the gospel, through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Much might be said from that viewpoint of the subject, but I want to look at it from yet another viewpoint. And now, what has this man said? Our text tells us, never man spake like this man. And you may say, what has this man said? It is not just what you read that he said, as you read the Gospels that tell us of his life, his doing, and his dying. Remember that. What saith the Scriptures is what this man hath said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. God spake all these words. And regarding that viewpoint, and do you regard it too, this man has said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. You must not think you can do as you like regarding the worship of God and listening to the gospel that is preached to you. You must not think you can do as you like about it and go on living your life on your own initiative, living as you list. No, this man has said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, I would counsel you to listen to what this man declares in the word of his grace. And whenever you hear the gospel preached to you, never man spake like this man. And now, there is a people beneath the sun who do desire to hear this man. Not only to hear what this man tells, but by his grace, to hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. And now that brings us down to a bedrock truth. The Savior said to his disciples, blessed are your ears, for they hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And now what about you? You dear people, young and old, who come week in, week out, do you come, if so be, you can get in touch with this man in the text? Do you come with that feeling, I would hear what God the Lord will say? Oh, if you have got something like that working within, then God is at work in you. And you are numbered with his people. And it can be said of you, as I have already quoted concerning his disciples, blessed are your ears, for they hear. God has done something which he alone can do. There is a word in Isaiah, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Yes. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. You will see, whatever this man says to you, if he condescends to speak to you as one of his disciples, he has already said it in the word of his grace. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. What a wonderful mercy it is to have an ear to hear what this man declares in the gospel. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found suited to every sinner's case who knows his soul's deep wound. Yes. Do any of you say, oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word? Sometimes when this man speaks to poor sinners, it is like that. It is not just like the loud thunder, though it could be, and he has spoken like that at times, but to poor sinners whom he is leading into his truth, it is often as a whisper. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. But it is what this man is saying, and he alone can say it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No, blessed be God. Never man spake like this man. And now the great thing is, has this man ever spoken to you? How does he speak? Sometimes he speaks to convince. And it is a great mercy. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And that is this man speaking through the Spirit of God. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Sometimes he speaks not only with a convincing voice, but he speaks, blessed be his name, to comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And you will never feel comforted as you want to feel unless this man communicates it. Remember that. It is a great truth. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Those of us who try to preach know our limitations from that viewpoint. We may speak comfortable words, but you need this man to communicate the reality of what those comfortable words convey, ere you can feel the comfort thereof. Yes. But he does speak comfortable words, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, what wonderful words this man has spoken and are recorded to encourage poor sinners to hope in God. Jesus saith, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Blessed be his name. Sometimes this man, in his communications with you, in how he speaks, he will speak to confirm you in what he has done for your soul, and assure you that it is what he has done. Yes, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I like that word. You see, dear friends, you must have that hallmark, wrought in God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But oh, if this man speaks to you as he alone can do, to comfort you, confirm you, you will know that what is being done in your soul has got that hallmark wrought in God. Sometimes he will speak to counsel you. Thou shalt hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it will be this man directing you, counseling you, showing you wherein is the good and right way wherein you should go. And sometimes in his dealings with you, he will say, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. There is just another thought here. Never man spake like this man. And now sometimes this man will speak to you, if you belong to him, this man will speak to you to correct you. He will say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Yes. Reproofs and instruction are in the way of life. And you must expect sometimes that this man will speak to you, and he will speak to correct you, chasten you, and instruct you, and bring you back to where you ought to be, sitting at Jesus' feet clothed and in a right mind. He speaks in the word of his grace, in the promises, and in the precious precepts, and he speaks in the gospel. He uses men ordained of God to preach. And you say the preacher seems to know all about me, but that is not the truth. It is this man who is instructing the preacher what to say, which just describes who you are and where you are. It is this man speaking to you. And it is a wonderful mercy for him to do so. But I must come to the amen. But ere I do, I want to make this plain. And now, this man always speaks to his people, wherever they are, whoever they are, as this man. What I mean is, he speaks as verily God, verily man. And because he is verily man, he can speak to you, and I hope sometimes he speaks to me. Because the word of God says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And therefore, the God shines gracious through the man. But he speaks to us because he has taken into union with his divine nature a nature like ours, yet without sin. And it is a wonderful thought that when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, after love's redeeming work was done, he ascended as verily God, verily man. And now what do you sing about that? You might think about it. It is a beautiful and blessed truth that human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. And now I must keep you a minute, because there is another thing I must say about this man. And now, all of you under Union Chapel roof at this time, I want you, as you go on your way, to keep uppermost in your thoughts that there is a day to dawn when you will see this man. Yes, and this man will speak to you. And that will be, as we read in the Word of God itself, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things which we have done in our body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. But what did the Lord Jesus say? And it needs thinking about. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Dear friends, you and I, pastor and people, will all be there. We shall, every one of us, see this man. We shall see him as he is on the judgment throne. What will he say to you? What will he say to me? Oh, that he might say what he says to them on his right hand. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But oh, if any of you should have it in your minds that you will live as you were born and do as you like, and turn your backs on God and godliness and live and die like that, you will see this man. You will hear what this man will say to you. Depart from me, ye cursed. And that will echo in your mind as long as God shall God remain, so long shall last hell's lingering pain, so long the joys of heaven shall be. O long delights, long misery. Amen.